We've got 5 minutes, or 5 years, or 5 decades left. We just don't know. Things to do. And he's given us opportunity to be able to do in heaven. We're not going to be able to not only in this place, but as you leave here. Kinds of people. But you're not going to see in heaven. And as it is appointed for men to die once, the judgment. There's a judgment. Some to the resurrection of life and eternity in heaven with God. And for others, the resurrection of condemnation. Christ did. John 5:29. All of these scriptures that are quoted this morning are in your bulletin, by the way. I encourage you to look them up later. There's no evangelism in heaven. Everybody who's there already knows God. So we have the unique opportunity to share the hope that is in us while it is yet night and our day dawns. Glorify God in the earth by refusing to indulge the original sin nature, aka the flesh, being salt and light in a dark world. Now I speak on these lines, not that you will live in guilt. I don't want you to sit here and ruminate over all of the things that you didn't do the past 2 weeks that you've been saved, the past 20 years that you've been saved, and continually beat yourself up over it and live in guilt and shame. Rather, I want you to do after the manner of King David, who said, "My sin is ever before me." Not that he lived in guilt, but that as he lived his life, he always remembered where he came from and the mistakes that he made along the way. He always remembered and thought about the time that he'd wasted playing around with foolish things, playing around with his sinful desires. You know how easy it is to get on the computer and start reading even Christian websites? Well, I'm doing something good. I spent an hour reading a Christian newspaper online. Well, this is all wonderful. But how easy it is to get carried away doing good things and not doing better ones. Not doing the things that make for the edification of our souls. How easy it is to fall into the trap of reading so many books about the Bible that we never read the Bible. Reading so many books about prayer that we never bother to pray. Let's get back to the basics, friends. Works of darkness must be cast off. Those things that do not glorify God and are not profitable must be cast off if our lives are to be of their best use to the Lord. TV time, I already alluded to it. Computer time. Smartphone time. I've got a dumb phone for two reasons. First of all, I'm not smart. And I assume that smartphones are for smart people. So I don't buy one. I probably can't figure it out anyway. The other reason I don't have a smartphone is I've got enough things that might take my eyes and my mind off of the relational aspects of being a participant in God's kingdom. Like picking up the phone. Like visiting somebody, having a cup of coffee, these sorts of things. other uses of time that may not necessarily be to the glory of God. Take you. Are you going to a place where God is not glorified? The place today or next weekend or in 2 weeks, is that a place where God is going to be glorified, or is that a place where worldly things are the order of the day and there's nothing redeeming with regard to the gospel concerning Jesus Christ? Gambling establishments, bars, worldly fairs, and worldly forms of entertainment. What glory to God is in these? If you've not quenched the Spirit, you do know what areas of your life overlap works of darkness that we find in our text. When I mentioned these things, immediately you thought of something. I certainly did as I was preparing this teaching. I'll give you a few more in case you're doing pretty good. Reading them right out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This is the Apostle Paul. This is the Apostle Paul, right? He's a pretty holy guy, right? The Apostle Paul. He had some things that he needed to overcome in his life. And he knew that the Ephesian believers did too. Some of these second generation Christians. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you shall no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. So he's speaking primarily to saved Gentiles, that is, saved people who are not ethnically Jewish. There are saved people who are ethnically Jewish also. So the Apostle Paul makes a distinction here because he's speaking in particular to Ephesian Gentiles. In the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Why were they alienated from the life of God? Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. That's what they do. Unsaved people do all these things. Expect it. You're called to be different. You're called to be salt and light in a dark world. If indeed you have heard and been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, right, we're told in our text to put on the armor of light. We're told to put off concerning your former conduct. The old man, that doesn't mean disown your father. It means put on the armor of light and put off the old sin nature, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, don't go to bed harboring a grudge in your heart. Especially not with your spouse. Nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who is in need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. If you're not sure if you should say something, don't say it. In other words, and do not grieve the Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Must be put on. We have it in our text. and we just had it reinforced in our subtext. Christian, put on the armor of light. Prepare for the spiritual battle to come. The fiery darts of the enemy have been loosed, but the battle belongs to the Lord. Now, the scripture would not command you to put on the armor of light if it were not available to us. I wouldn't say, if you're thirsty, go get a drink of water at the table, if there was no water there, would I? How much more so would the Lord not tell you to put on the armor of light if there was no armor to be had? How shall we clothe ourselves with this armor? Through prayer. Through the Word of God. Through reliance upon God the Holy Spirit. Onward, Christian soldiers. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. If there are any in my hearing this morning, whether you be present here or listening online or listening to a CD, I have a word for you as well. There's a word to unbelievers right on these same lines. The Bible didn't neglect to proclaim the gospel to those who've not heard. Neither shall His church. The gospel is the center message, the central message that we have as God's people, and ought to be central to every sermon. Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. You've lived in darkness long enough. Today, take that step forward and dwell in the light. You think Jesus Christ took those nails upon Himself for nothing? Do you think His blood was shed for nothing? He did this because sin had a penalty, and it was the only way that sin's penalty could be paid. And so He loved you so much that He took it upon Himself. Now all you have to do is believe. Trust in the fact that when He did these things, that He did them just for you. Lord, may these words serve as an encouragement to Your people. And may the exhortation to come to the foot of the cross and receive eternal life be heard by any in my hearing who walked in the door this morning not knowing whether they were going to heaven or not. That they might be convicted through the gospel and be reassured on the authority of Your word that there is a place in heaven for them. And for these we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.